Why is it important for you to read your Bible daily? I mean, every day. Well, let me ask you this question. Before this week, how many days a week have you been reading your Bible? Think about that for a moment. Now, as we begin reading Psalms and Proverbs, will you do me a favor? Will you make me a promise? Will you make me a commitment? Will you commit today that you will read your Bible 5 days a week? Now, I'm not asking you to do a lot of that. I'm just asking you one chapter a day for at least 5 out of the 7 days. That's what we've been doing. You know, for a lot of folks, they start off, they have a New Year's resolution, and they're like, well, you know, I want to do better with my Bible study. I want to do better with my prayer time. Here's a good challenge for you, and here's a way that that we can come together on Wednesday on Wednesdays to be able to hold each other accountable, and also to have something for you, for us to go forward with. So if you're that person who said, you know, I need to do better at my Bible readings, my Bible study, and those sort of things, I want to grow closer to the Lord, will you pick up that challenge? We've just finished up going through a lot of the Old Testament right now, or actually today, we're actually beginning going through some Psalms and Proverbs. So would you join us on that? Would you take that commitment to read your Bible at least 5 days a week, one chapter? And I give you what those are. At the end of the Bible study today, I will give you what your readings will be. We can't make it any easier than that. So please take up the challenge. Join us. So for right now, if you can hit the pause button, hit the pause button, go grab your Bible. Make sure you've got that with you, because today we're going to be looking at Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Go grab that Bible and we'll be right back. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're so glad that you're joining us. If you went and grabbed that Bible, if you would go ahead and turn over to the book of Psalm chapter 1. If you're looking for that, a lot of times people would just take their Bible and right in the middle of it, they'll open it up and you'll probably be in Psalm. But we're going to look starting with chapter 1. Now notice what I ask you as we started our Bible study. Yeah, do you feel that it is important for you to read your Bible every day? Now, I'm going to tell you, it's a challenge. Yeah? For those who have followed the Lord for any amount of time, those who have a daily devotional time with the Lord, it is work. It is something that you have to carve out of your schedule. But I'll tell you, man, I believe with all my heart that the Lord truly, truly is worth it. So today, we're actually going to be picking up our reading in Psalm chapter 1. And of course, it's the whole Psalm. There's only a handful of verses, but would you join us as we read Psalm chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we're again grateful and thankful for these moments that we have to be able to spend together in your word. Lord, we just pray that you will help each and every one of us to make sure that we are carving out that time and our schedules to make sure that you are a priority. Father, you've given us a new year. We're well into the year of 2023 now, but Father, for those resolutions that some may have made, may this be the time that we find ourselves encouraged. May this be the time that we come around with the accountability of brothers and sisters, that we might truly be able to grow in your grace and be able to go forward, Lord, with anticipation of the times that we spend together as you will speak to us. And Lord, right now, I just pray that you will help me as your speaker for these moments to lift you up in a way that people will truly hear you and hear that Holy Spirit. And Lord, then I pray you'll give them courage and strength to be able to act upon what the Holy Spirit has shown them. So Lord, bless the time and the moments that we'll spend together as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, folks, as we look at this psalm, the blessing of a righteous man are contrasted with the judgment of the wicked. So you can see the righteous man, you can see the wicked. Now, in this particular psalm, it talks about there are three things that the psalmist says that a blessed man will not do. Let's go over to the scripture text as we begin, particularly there in our verse 1. Notice, and remember, what we're looking for are things that he will not do. Okay, the blessed man is a man who, what does it say, verse 1? Who walks not, meaning he doesn't walk, in the counsel of the ungodly. That's one thing. All right, what's the second? Nor stand in the path of sinners. That's two. Nor sit in the seat of the scornful. There's number three. Those are three things that it says that the blessed man will not do. Now, I always like to do this just to bring some context, because I know that there's a lot of folks who tune into our Bible studies that are not you didn't grow up and cut your teeth on a King James Version or New King James like I did, and sometimes hearing it in a different translation gives you a little bit more context to what's going on. So in the English Standard Version, that verse 1 of Psalm 1 reads like this. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers." Now, that kind of brings a little bit more context to as opposed to scornful, which we read in the New King James. So those are three things that the word says that the blessed man does not do. Now, what are those three things? What do those things mean, and how do they warn against the dangers of spiritual compromise? And I wanted to make sure I get that word out there, because Satan is wanting every Christian. Listen, if you've given your heart to the Lord, then Satan knows he can't have you, but what he's going to do is he's going to try to trip you up in every way, shape, form, or fashion that he can. He wants the Christian person to compromise what is going on. Compromise has always been a tool of the devil. I mean, as I was just even thinking about this, it made me think back to the time that that Israel was in Egypt, and they were captive there. And if you remember, Moses was going at the command of God to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Pharaoh got to the point that even after the plagues, the things that were happening in there, he wanted them to compromise. He wanted Israel to compromise. And he was saying, "Well, I'll tell you what, why don't your men just go out and worship? You leave the women and the children here." And they were like, "No, that's not what we're supposed to do." Then he was like, "Well, I tell you what, you guys, but he was always wanting them to compromise, leave something behind so that there would be some sort of tie there. And they're like, "No, that's not what God asked us to do or told us to do." Evil is always going to want you to compromise. And let me go on the record to say this: you will pay a cost for that compromise. So as we look at these three things, let's talk about them for a moment. What do these three things mean, and how are they warnings against spiritual compromise? Well, in that verse 1, it says, "Blessed is the man who walks not," does not walk, "in the counsel of the ungodly." You know what that means? That means that the born-again believer should not spend his time in the presence of things that he knows are ungodly according to the Word of God. Now, people would sit back and say, "Well, does that mean people?" Yes, it does. It talks about the influence. In other words, don't leave yourself in a position that you are being influenced by the ungodly things or ungodly people in your life. Now, before somebody begins to start to put words in my mouth, that doesn't mean that we just completely write off unsaved people. That's not what that means. What that means is simply this: we don't allow ourselves to be in the presence of ungodly things that are going to influence us in an ungodly way. God himself, throughout the Old Testament, he talked about that a lot. You know, it's so ironic that there are times when people have tried to take some biblical passages and say that, that God in some way propagated racism. And let me go on the record to say he did not, by any stretch of the imagination, propagate that. But what they'll do is they'll go to certain passages in the Old Testament and they'll say, well, God said, you know, for Israel not to have anything to do with those people. Well, it wasn't because of their color or anything like that. It was because of their ungodliness. God said, what's going to happen is if you keep exposing yourself to the ungodliness, then what's going to happen is eventually you're going to find yourself going on to the ungodly way. You're going in the wrong direction, not in a direction God wants you to go. See, folks, that's why church attendance, that's why small group attendance is so important. That's when God's people come together to encourage one another. You know, it's when Satan and life just beats us up all week, and we have this opportunity to come together around the common cause, to lift him up, to praise him. Don't tell me it's not important. It is extremely important. And if you don't make it a part of your life now, and if you don't make it a part of your children's lives now, it's not going to be part of it later. You know, what is important to you? What are you showing the things that are important to your family, to your children, to your grandchildren? You know, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Are you continuing to expose yourself to things that you know are ungodly? Well, you know what? That's what God right here is telling us. What the psalmist is telling us in Psalm 1 is that the blessed man doesn't do that. The blessed man doesn't continually expose himself to the ungodly. Now, whether that's things or people, it doesn't matter. If it's ungodly, we should not be exposing ourselves to it. That's one of them. What else does it say in that verse 1? Nor stand in the path of sinners. Yeah. Now, that doesn't mean that you're trying to do something to help them out. In other words, it's once again, it's almost like the same thing as not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. You know, we're not going to sit there and allow the sinner to carry us down the same path that they go on. No, we're supposed to be going the other way. God called us as believers to be separate from the world, not to be the same, not to look like the world. And we've got too many people running around, call them camouflage Christians. They want to look just like the world looks. And that's not what it's all about. The Lord says, I've called you out to be separate. I have placed within you the light. Remember the little song that we sang as children, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Yeah, and there's one verse that says, yeah, hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Well, when you have Christ within you, it's going to shine outside of you. You know, quit trying to cover it up. Quit trying to be camouflaged. Don't stand in the path of the sinners. And don't expose yourself to the ungodly things of this world. And then it says, finally in that verse, the third thing was, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Now, I gave that to you in the ESV text, and it reads like this. It says, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. We better understand what that means, the scoffers, people who are like, oh, I don't know, I don't believe that. You know, I'm just going to scoff at you in regard to this thing. Don't be that person. Yeah, the Lord has given us so much. Yeah, we need to start counting our blessings. We need to know and understand where they've come from. And I don't care who you are today. If we were having a conversation and you told me that you had nothing to be thankful for, I could sit back, even in your life, even if you and I have never met, I could begin to name things in your life that you could be grateful and that you could be thankful to God for. And we need to continue to do that. Don't be the scoffer. Don't sit back and look at these people. Why are they doing what they're doing? You know, I don't want to have anything to do with them, and I don't want to have anything to do with that. You know, you can just keep that. See, you can see how these things, just those three things mentioned in verse 1, could lead people to be in danger of spiritually compromising in their lives. And folks, today, we need to be encouraging one another. It is so easy. As a Christian, you're in a minority now. When you go to your workplace, as a Christian, you're probably in a minority. Your neighborhoods, you're more than likely a minority. That is why we need each other so bad. That's why to be able to come together and lift each other up and to encourage one another. And unfortunately, that's not what's going on in the church of 2023. You know, what happens is that we wind up coming together as the church and we talk about each other and we shun each other. We do all that. We're acting like the world. And if the church itself is acting and looking like the world, then you know what? Nobody wants to come be a part of that. They want to be a part of something that's different. May we truly be identified in the way the Scripture tells us. What may our church be identified in the way the Scripture says that it should. It says, you will know they are Christians by their love. Are we edifying one another? Are we encouraging one another? Are we lifting one another up? You know, what does the psalmist say? Well, we heard some things that the psalmist said that the blessed man would not do, but what does it say that the blessed man will do? Okay, let's look a little deeper in our scriptures. Remember, we just started off and talked about the fact that it says that the blessed man walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. Going down to verse 3, it says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall also not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. So, you know, it talks about what the believer will not do, you know, what he shouldn't do, and we mentioned that. But it says rather in verse 2 that he delights in the law of the Lord. And his law, it says he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the river of waters that brings forth in its season, whose leaf shall not wither. When you start to look at those things and you begin to compare those are far different. Think about the word delight. You know, what does that mean? Delight. To delight in the law of the Lord. Now, people have asked me that before, and I said, for me, I can tell you what it means. It means that when I get into the Word of God, I don't just sit back every day and go, oh, geez, man, I got to read my Bible today, or I just need to do this because I need to check the box to keep my streak going. No, I really want to meet the Lord in His Word when we have those moments and time to be able to come together and to spend. And when I'm learning from these things, I'm excited to get back to the Lord's love letter to me and what's going on. And I delight in the law of the Lord. I don't sit back and say, well, the Bible's just a bunch of don'ts. Don't do this, don't do that. Yeah, we're not supposed to be having any fun according to the Word of God. No, that's not what it's all about. It's about cultivating that intimate relationship with a holy God through His Word and through prayer. Just to fall in love with Him. And when you do that, then you will delight in the laws of the Lord. Man, I love it when He shows me things, just particularly new things from His Word. And He does that every time. He wants to do that every time you pick up the Word of God. He does that for me. He wants to do that for you every single time that you pick up the Word of God. Now think about that for a minute. He talks about, what does it mean to meditate on the law of the Lord? Now, I can still remember, you know, the way a lot of people look at meditate, and they sit back and when they think of somebody sitting there going home and just doing all these, you know, crazy things. No, that's not what it means, but it means putting yourself into it. It means, you know, taking those moments and opportunities that as you read God's Word, not to just read it superficially, but think about it, ponder it. You know, once you get finished reading a passage, or as you're reading it, begin to ask questions. What does this mean to me? How can I make application in my life? Meditate on it. What is it that God is telling you through the Word as you're going through it? Are you meditating on the laws of the Lord? Are you making them applicable in your life? It's not just good enough to have head knowledge. It's not just good enough to know what it is that God is telling you that you should do. You have to practice it. And yet sometimes that means it has to be ever before you. You know, meditate on it. Lord, what are you telling me through this passage today? I am digging deep. And I love the fact that it says, And the Word of God tells us that if we knock, it shall be opened to us. It says, whoever seeks will find. So my question for you and my challenge for you, first of all, is are you seeking and are you finding? And if you're saying I'm not, then that's my challenge. My challenge is for you to seek the Lord in His Word, to seek Him through prayer, to meditate on Him, to meditate on His Word. And I will make you this promise. He will show up. Why? How can I say that with such surety? Because He promises us those who seek will find. Are you a seeker? Are you looking for Him in His Word? You know, how often does a blessed man meditate on God's law? What does it say? Day and night. Yeah, it's not just something that you do on Sunday. You know, being a Christian is not just an event that we go to. It is who we become in the Lord. The church is not just a building. The church is a body of believers. It's a body of people. So when we think about that, it's not just something we turn on and turn off, or we put on or put off, just like we would a coat or a sweater. It's who we become. And the thing about it is that the Lord says that we should be meditating on His law. We should be meditating on Him day and night. In everything that we do, in every aspect of our lives, we need to be carrying them to the Lord. We need to be having those conversations with Him. We need to be making those personal relationships. That's what gives us the time to be able to sit back and say, Lord, I'm just in a situation and I don't know what to do. I don't know if your prayers have ever sounded like that before. Some of you may be praying those spiritual prayers. But man, some of the greatest prayers I believe in my own personal life that I've ever had are the ones where I'm like, Lord, I'm just stuck. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. And just being able to talk to Him, just like you and I are having this opportunity to converse today. Okay, He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And He says, if you seek, you'll find. Are you doing that? See, what did the psalmist say would be true for the one who avoids spiritual compromise and meditates on God's law? He starts talking about all those good things. He'll be like a tree planted by the river of waters. And when we think about those things, and if you're particularly if you're struggling and trying to get your devotional life what it ought to be, these are some promises that we can claim. Remember, as we do our Bible study, we're looking for promises that God says that we can claim. And here's some of them. He says that the blessed man, if we do these things, we meditate on His Word day and night, it says that we too shall be like the trees planted by the river of waters. We will bloom in season. And it just gives all these wonderful adages in that particular passage. Is that what you want to be? Do you want to be the blessed person whose life shows that it's been changed by the Father, particularly with those that are lost and that are around you? So think about it. In what ways do these promises that God is giving us inspire us? How should they inspire us to study and to obey His Word daily? Because He promises that He's going to bless us in the midst of that. You know, God knows. You can't fool Him. If you're just simply a Sunday Christian, my question to you, first of all, would be, are you really a Christian? Have you really had that personal relationship with the Lord? Do you understand that you gave your life over to Christ when you said, Lord, I'm a sinner, forgive me, come into my life, save my soul? You no longer belong to you. You belong to Him. Or are you just giving God the leftovers in your life in every way, shape, form, or fashion? Is that with your time? Is that with your tithe? Is that with your talent? Is God just getting the leftovers? You know, it's ironic that there's some people that I hear, and I've heard conversations in public before when people sit back and say, I'll tell you one thing, man, we were sure at church a long time today. You know, the preacher went 10 minutes over time or 15 minutes over time. Folks, this is the Lord's day is when we gather together. Now, I know people could start splitting hairs and say, well, the Sabbath is really on Saturday. But the time that we pick to come together, it's not the Lord's hour. We should make it the Lord's day. It is the time for us to be able to get into His Word and a time for us to be able to meditate on it. Listen, if you're just coming because, that's what I always do, then I want to really challenge you to look at your attendance in a different way. You have to be there to be able to gain something, but I'm going to challenge you to gain something. Go in there with the attitude and the heart of worship, and I will make you a promise that God will speak to your heart, that He will draw you close to Him, and that He will change your life if you'll only allow Him. Will you give Him that chance? You know, the Lord, or the psalmist says in this passage that we're like a fruitful tree. So let me ask this question. How's a fruitful tree different from the chaff that the wind drives away, which mentions the unbelievers here? You know, a fruitful tree, you can think about it. Most of us can picture that in our mind, whether it's an apple tree, a pear tree, peach tree, that produces fruit that's really good. If you're like I am, you had the chance and opportunity to grow up where people would take those apples and make that wonderful apple pie. Not that you went and bought the apples from the store. You got them off of the tree or from a neighbor who had a tree. Just something tastes different about it. Just tastes so much better, doesn't it? But the fruitful tree is completely different than the chaff. The chaff was something that was part of the hull that's not needed. It's dead. It's died off. And as I think of that passage, I think about the one who would put, you know, the wheat with the chaff maybe in a big basin, and as they flip it in that basin and the wind blows by, the chaff is light, so it just blows it away, and what's left is only what is good. Notice what it says. It refers to the unbeliever or the non-obedient as chaff that the wind drives away. You know, in your spiritual life today, are you more like a fruitful tree or the chaff that is driven away by the wind? Now, you may have answered that question in your heart and in your mind. Well, then I'm going to challenge you to go a step further. If you said that I'm more like a fruitful tree, why did you say that you were like a fruitful tree? If you stated that you were like the chaff, then my question would simply be, why do you see that you were more like the chaff? What are the reasons behind those things, and what needs to be done about them? Okay, the psalmist says some things about the wicked in the day of judgment as we get on down, you know, toward the end of our text. And notice what it says. It says in verse 4, it says, "The ungodly are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly," here we go, you ready? "The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." I mean, it's put out there, folks. It doesn't get any easier for us to understand than what we see here. Too many times we try to make it complicated. We know what's going on. We know when we're doing wrong, particularly in the life of a believer. You have the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit convicts your heart. And when the conviction is there, then you might as well hang it up. You need to heed the conviction, because you're not going to outrun God. There's no mountain so high, there's no valley so low that you can get away from God, who chastens those whom He loves. Now, that's particularly if you're a believer. If you're a believer and you're not doing the right things, the Holy Spirit is convicting your heart. The question is, what are you going to do about it? Now, when we're talking about wicked in this regard, we're talking about those who don't know Him. We're talking about those who are going to suffer an eternal punishment and eternal damnation in hell. Yeah, but He's also looking at the contrast between those who, I think that you can contrast that out between those who are believers, true believers, who are following Him. And we should desire to be like that tree planted by the river of waters. You know, is that you? That brings forth fruit, okay? What does the Lord know about the righteous? You know, think about that for a moment. You know, notice what we said. Yeah, and that go look at that last verse once again. It says, "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." What does the Lord know? The Lord knows your way. If you're righteous, if you're a believer, He knows your way. Now, let me give that to you in ESV again for those who may hear it a little bit differently. It says, "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." He knows that. He already, you can't hide it from Him. He knows where you are, knows exactly where you are. You can hide it from your preacher, you can hide it from your deacons, your friends, your family all day, but you cannot hide it from God. He knows where you are. So let me ask you this question. If you stood before the Lord in the judgment day today, if you had to stand before in the next moment, what would be true for you and why? You know, how would you answer the questions when the Lord asked, when the Lord would say, you know, why couldn't you follow me? Why couldn't you take time out of your schedule to have that appointment with me, to spend time with me in the Word, to spend time in prayer? Why was everything else so much more important? See, the Lord knows your way. He knows what it is now. He knows what it should be. For some of you that are listening, He's given some attaboys. Good job. Well done. For a lot of us, He's sitting back going, now you need to do a whole lot better. Yeah, because He desires to have that relationship with us. Now, I want to ask this question. I'm going to give you a verse. It's a different verse, but it says, yeah, think about this. What does Jesus Christ have to do with how you would fare in the judgment? Now, a lot of y'all sit back and go, well, that's an easy one. I understand that. Well, let me take you over to 2 Corinthians 5:21, and I want you to hear this verse. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, "For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." It says, "For He made Him," Him being Jesus Christ, He made Him, God made Him, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin. He lived that 33 years of life on this earth sinless. He knew no sin. To be sin for us, to take all of the sins of the world, mine, yours, every sin, past, present, and future, to Calvary's cross. It says, "For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him," that we might be able to be justified before Him, that we are forgiven, and that we have that opportunity to be able to stand in His presence. You know, I hope today that you truly have decided that I'm going to take up the challenge and I'm going to become closer to the Lord. I hope that you will take up the charge to say, you know what, I'm going to tune into this broadcast every Wednesday evening. I'm going to learn something. And I'm going to find out what my next five chapters are. And see, I've even given you 2 days that you can be lazy. There's 7 days in a week. I'm only giving you 5 different chapters along the way. So would you join us in that challenge? You know what we need to do? We need to pray not only today, but each and every day, that each of us will have great discipline in our daily Bible reading, and that we will obey God's word without compromise. Yeah, no, we're not gonna compromise with the devil. It's just not gonna happen. Will you do that today? Will you take up that challenge? If you will, then let me go ahead and give you what your Bible readings for this week will be. This week we will be reading Psalm chapter 6 through Psalm chapter 10. Once again, that is Psalm chapter 6 through Psalm chapter 10. That's only 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There's 7 days in a week. So listen, you can read one chapter a day. I don't want you to read all of them at one time. I want you to take one per day. Why do you just want to take one per day? Because what did we learn today? That we would meditate on it. Allow the Lord to speak to you through that one chapter that you will do each of 5 days throughout a 7-day week. That's Psalm chapter 6 through Psalm chapter 10. And next week, we will discuss our majestic Lord from the passages of Psalm chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. Would you pray with me? Father, thank You so much for Your word. Lord, we thank You for the fact that You meet us where we are. That, Lord, You desire to have that relationship with us. Father, help us to become strong in Your word, that we might not compromise our beliefs. Lord, that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, because we know that he is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Father, I pray that as You have convicted and touched our heart, that we would truly desire to see ourselves like the tree planted by the water's edge that produces and brings forth good fruit. And Lord, we realize that when we make that or take up that challenge, it's going to be tough. Satan's going to come after us even harder and faster and with more things. Help us, Lord, to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in Your word, because Lord, we know that our labors are not in vain, and that You will teach us, and that You will show up in our lives. Lord, help bring us together as a body of believers, churches all over this world, that we might truly truly celebrate who you are, that we might praise you in a way that is just uplifting for us, that helps give us the gas for the tank to be able to get through the week. So Lord, bless us this week. Send us to somebody who needs to hear about you. Work on changing our lives from the inside out for your honor, for your glory, as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, folks. Thank you for joining us once again for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We want to encourage you, if you don't have a church home and you're in the area, we would love for you to stop by and see us. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're just right across the street from the Oak Ridge Military Academy. God bless you, and we look forward to seeing you Sunday.